moved to New Zealand to start a new job. I was very lonely. I didn't know anyone, and at 18, it was the first time I had lived on my own, so I felt out of sorts. Partying with new friends. I was also eating without any sense of discipline. Instead of thinking I had moved to start a new job, I thought to myself, oh, this is just like being on vacation. Therefore, I'll eat whatever I want. To add insult to injury, I never learned how to cook when growing up. So eating junk food and fast food was easier than learning how to prepare meals. For the first month in New Zealand, I stayed with the family until I could find a place to live. I snuck food out of their cupboards and ate in secret. They never said anything, and I was floored by that. Didn't they wonder who was stealing their children's lunch foods out of their pantry? So the results of terrible loneliness and an inability to cook, and honestly no desire to learn for that matter, led to a 27-pound weight gain in 3 months. I felt horrible, so I thought I'd try Weight Watchers. My binging continued, and I quit Weight Watchers. I remember picking a piece of food out of the garbage that my roommate had thrown away and eating it. There have been more of those days. Anyway, I just ate crap all day long, and I drank a lot of beer and liquor. I became incredibly depressed. In fact, most of my time in New Zealand, I was depressed. When my work permit expired after 19 months, I moved back to Canada. I know people were shocked by my appearance. I tried to lose weight when I returned to Canada, but I was miserable. I eventually did manage to lose some weight. 2.5 months after I returned to Canada from New Zealand, I got a job in Mexico, and off I went. My eating was not out of control for the 9 months I worked in Mexico. After my contract was up, I returned again to Canada. I was 21. I hated my life. I was not living up to my potential at all. I had a dead-end job, but didn't have the confidence to apply to go to college or university. I didn't think I was smart enough. I thought for sure I would fail if I went to college. I mustered up enough courage to apply to my local community college. Unfortunately, at this time, I had resumed eating compulsively, and I still didn't know how to cook. I wasn't drinking, but I was binge eating. I remember just eating a whole, and I don't know if we're allowed to say food. We can say food? I remember eating a whole loaf of bread at one time. There I was in my apartment, just putting butter on this bread and inhaling it while standing there at the kitchen counter. And people are nodding and smiling, going, yeah, that's nothing. I understand that. That's when I knew something was wrong. I was about 22 at the time. I had heard about OA and found a meeting in my city. I went and really, really, really felt out of place. I think most everyone was over 50, and all of the members were housewives. At the time, I just felt I couldn't relate. Little did I know, this disease does not discriminate on age, race, sex, religious belief, or occupation. Sadly, I never went back to an OA meeting in my city. Before finishing my first year at my community college, I decided to change my major and apply to a university. I moved to Calgary in 1994 to start my undergraduate degree. I didn't really eat compulsively throughout my undergraduate degree. I did eat like an undisciplined child, though. I remember my roommate commenting on how poorly I ate, as in the quality of food. Remember, I still hadn't learned how to cook. One time, I had 2 Kit Kats for dinner. She couldn't believe it. She told me that I had to eat better, and 2 Kit Kats did not a dinner make. I remember eating boxes and boxes of junk food in my dorm room. I was in a college club, and we were trying to raise money. We did so by selling those damned little boxes of chocolate-covered almonds. Well, I didn't sell one box. I ate every box. Yes, every box. There must have been 50 boxes. I couldn't even keep count. I just ate them all. But I didn't gain weight in undergrad. I actually lost weight and was extremely fit. But the poor eating habits persisted. I applied for grad school and was accepted. And I moved to Nashville in 1998. I wasn't really eating compulsively throughout my master's degree. I didn't have the money to. I ate fairly poorly, though. It wasn't unusual for me to have a Little Debbie snack, the 25-cent ones, as a meal. That was my meal, a little crappy piece of junk with high fructose corn syrup. surprise, surprise, as the first ingredient. I actually became very thin in Nashville, mainly after my master's degree was complete. I stayed and worked for 1 year after I graduated, and that's when I became quite thin and ill. I had bad acid reflux. I'm certain it was from stress. After my work visa expired, I returned to Canada and started teaching at a university. I had a very rewarding teaching job at a university in my home province. Surprisingly, I did not compulsively overeat there. I was very lonely, though, and completely estranged from my family. Oddly, I did not abuse food. I have no memories of binge eating during my 3 years at my job. In my last year of my job, I applied to do my doctorate at Rutgers. I left my job in Canada and moved to New Jersey in 2005. I didn't abuse food throughout most of my doctoral studies. I may not have had terrific eating habits 100% of the time, but I was what anyone would call quote-unquote normal. I was happy. I got married before I started the third year of my doctoral studies, but I started overeating and gaining weight after I met my husband. Food was a big part of our courting process, but I was still normal. It all started going downhill when we moved to Memphis. Oh, Memphis, you cursed city. After my third year of my doctorate, my husband and I moved to Memphis for his job. I was done all my coursework and working on my dissertation. I was miserable. I hated Memphis with every fiber of my being. Did you hear that? I hated Memphis with every fiber of my being. I really hated that town. I was terribly lonely and isolated and became extremely depressed, well, because I was lonely. To make matters worse, my dissertation writing wasn't going well. I was really stuck. So, guess what? I started eating! Yay, to deal with the stress. I started binging. I started eating in secret. While my husband was at work or away, I would go to the store and buy tons of junk, usually sugary stuff. I ate in secret. I ate my stash in the car before I got home. I think I gained about 15 pounds in Memphis. I remember going to one of my husband's colleagues' house for a party. My husband said, "Honey, I don't think you should wear those jeans. They really look too tight." Boy, oh boy. But I didn't care. I was miserable, and my secret food binging gave me relief. Memphis was a bust, though, and we decided to move back to New Jersey. I was so glad. But I continued abusing food when we moved back, and that was in 2010. So, from 2010, I just continued to abuse food. I was stressed about preparing for my doctoral written and oral comprehensive exams, and I was lonely. So, I just kept eating. I went on Weight Watchers twice. Both times I quit. I continued here in New Jersey to eat in secret and hide the evidence from my husband. Does anyone know about hiding evidence from anybody else? I'm the only one. Yeah, that's what I thought. I was good at it, actually. Quite good. I tried to beat my addiction myself, and I even tried exercising compulsively. That didn't work. I only ended up injuring myself and feeling utterly defeated. So that brings me to what happened. So why in the summer of 2013 did I return to OA after that first, quote, failed meeting in my hometown 20 years ago? Well, I saw the patterns of totally self-destructive eating and thinking. Yes, honey, I said thinking because it was more than just the eating, it was really the thinking. I also felt the power of cravings that I could no longer control or resist. I felt insane. In fact, the cravings were getting stronger and stronger. This disease is progressive. It was taking more of my, quote, drug food to get my buzz, to get my fix, to get my high. I started researching sugar addiction online in the spring of this year. I came across a lady by the name of Jill Escher. She is on a crusade to end sugar addiction. I listened to a few interviews of Jill, and she talked about a friend of hers that had not only lost weight, lost quite a bit of weight, she talked about a friend that was working the OA program and that she was now abstinent from sugar. Wow, I thought, people actually get abstinent from sugar? That's what I want. That's when one of the first seeds was planted, so to speak. I wanted a solution. Here I was, totally addicted to sugar and using it to numb out my feelings. Any feeling, good, bad, or otherwise. I used the high to cope. And let me tell you, and I'm not proud of this, but when I was a teenager, I did some drugs. For me, for the way my brain works, those street drugs have got nothing on sugar. Sugar is a mood and mind, mainly mood, altering substance for me. Anyway, I knew that my sugar addiction was getting really, really bad, like I said, in the spring of this year. And I have a little audiovisual aid for you just to show you. This is my diary. And here's my entry. This is pre-programmed, April 14th, Sunday, 2013. Code red. Code red. I mean, I knew I had a problem. And I hear in this entry in my diary, I'm talking about how I've been binging on this, that, and the other, how I'm at my heaviest weight, and I'm freaking out. Then I turn the page, and I actually wrote this down. I am a drug addict. I am addicted to sugar. So I knew, but thank goodness I have been listening to the OA podcasts. And then the following page, I'm sure you're so surprised. Here I thought, I can do it myself. I'm going to kick sugar myself. And then I have written, cravings! Exclamation point, exclamation point. There was no way I could kick sugar on my own. So I just wanted to show that to you. I hit my bottom on July 19th of this year, my husband's birthday. I wasn't even present for his birthday. I mean, mentally. I was so zoned out from a sugar binge earlier in the day that my brain was in a food fog. I was just trying to be a great actress that night when we went out to a restaurant to celebrate. What a sham. I was miserable. But in spite of this, I had been listening to OA podcasts since April, so I knew there was hope for me. Remember those precious seeds? Actually, it's funny. I did an OA phone meeting the morning of my husband's birthday, my rock bottom day. The next day, I went to the Saturday morning OA meeting in Red Bank at the United Methodist Church. That was July 20th. I just kept coming back. They kept saying, keep coming back. It works if you work it. I thought, what do I have to lose by coming back? I got a sponsor on August 4th and started working the steps with her. So this takes me to, what am I like now? What am I like now? Since working the program, I am definitely calmer. This is a good thing. I am less anxious. I am less angry. That's a big one for me. I've become a better listener, and I don't interrupt people as much when they're talking. I no longer feel the need to dominate conversations. I no longer feel the need to explain myself to people, nor do I feel compelled to justify or explain what I do for a living. If they don't get it, and they don't get me, honey, that's not my problem. And I thank program for that. Whatever. I can let it go. My self-esteem has grown so much. Though my husband hasn't outright said this, I think I'm a bit easier to live with now than I was 4.5 months ago. And I could make a PMS joke. Because, you know, there's premenstrual syndrome, but there's also perpetual menstrual syndrome. And when I was in the sugar, that is really what it was like. So, anyway. Notice I didn't mention anything about food, sugar, or cravings, about how the program has changed me. That's because the program is changing so much more than my powerlessness over sugar and food. The program is doing so much more than changing me on the outside. I'm beyond thrilled I've shed 22 pounds without exercising or dieting, but I'm even more thrilled to see how the program is changing my brain. It's washing my brain. All those years of stinking thinking. Program, you've got your work cut out for you. I never ever thought that God could or would use the 12 steps to work a miracle of healing and restoration in me, but that's what he's doing, and I'm glad. Working step 4 hasn't been easy. It's brought up a lot of anger, but I'm not eating over the anger. I don't have to. I want my miracles. I want my healing. I want my brain washed. I want all of the promises. Now, let me go back to the last line that was read in the Hidden Promises from the Big Book. That line reads, quote, "That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. The reactions that are mentioned are all ones that are rational and balanced." New concept for me. rational, and balanced. These qualities are for me only attainable through the help of my higher power. For me, the renewed and ever-deepening relationship with God is just about the greatest thing I've gotten from the OA program. I can't say enough about this. I love the slogan, let go and let God. I'm a perfectionist and compulsive in so many ways. Actually, obsessive compulsive. And that's a whole other story. Knowing that God will do for me what I cannot do for myself and that he wants to is so freeing for me. I keep three little OA cards on my desk at home and refer to them frequently throughout the day. And I'll hold them up because these really bless me. These are right on my desk. I have the I Put My Hand in Yours little card, which I love so much because it reminds me that I'm not alone and that I don't need to isolate and that my fellows love me and accept me and are happy to take my phone calls. They don't judge me. And even if they accidentally judge me, I know it's an accident and so I don't care. Because I accidentally still judge people too. Thank you, Step 4, for helping me realize that. My little Serenity Prayer card, which I love, and I just keep it there. Just to look at it just gives me comfort. And I really love this, the little tiny pamphlet folder called Just for Today. And I email my sponsor twice a day. And if I don't have some sort of like action plan thing or some kind of commitment that I have in mind to make to her, I'll just go, dear whomever, just for today, I will be happy, and that's my whole email. Or I will be agreeable, and that's the email, and that's it. Because sometimes I don't really know what to say. Because if I really get going and I let the 40 hamsters in my brain just go crazy, and trust me, they often do, I will write some huge, gigantic to-do list to send to her that's just completely unrealistic. So, yeah, sometimes I just look at this and I use that to help me, and that blesses me. So just glancing at these throughout the day gives me comfort. Praying the Serenity Prayer or opening up the little Just for Today card just blesses me. My favorite part of the day is that precious time I get in the morning to connect with my higher power. I have my own religious practice, which includes a daily reading from a devotional book, which I cross-reference with scriptures from the Bible. I have a time of prayer and a time for my two OA readers, For Today and Voices of Recovery. I read other OA literature as time permits throughout the day or week, and I particularly enjoy the Big Book, Step, and literature meetings I attend. Of course, I love the Monday night newcomer meeting because I'm still a newcomer. One thing that's new for me is that I've just started using the Voices of Recovery workbook and the For Today workbook. I bought the downloadable version off of the OA website. This encourages me to write because writing is a tool that I feel I should use more often and I don't. So, in keeping with the theme of spiritual fitness, and in my experience thus far working Step 4, as I make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, I thought it would be fitting to share something with you from an OA pamphlet entitled, If God Spoke to OA. I don't know if you know this little pamphlet, but I ordered it when I first started program because I thought, well, that sounds kind of cool and interesting. Let's just see. So I just wanted to share a little section with you. Okay. Appeal for membership in material organizations is based upon a boastful recital of their accomplishments, yours on the humble admission of weakness. The motto of successful commercial enterprise is, quote, he profits most who serves best. Yours, he serves best who seeks no profit. The wealth of material organizations, when they take their inventory, is measured by what they have left. Yours, when you take moral inventory, by what you have given. That really blessed me. I really liked that. So, in closing, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone involved in making this special day happen, and thank you for letting me share. Do I take questions? Do I sit down? What do I do?